WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on Monday morning. And again, thanks to the One South Coast Chamber for setting up the ability to have Johnny Damon here on the program, even though it was a pre-recorded interview. And if you missed it and you want to hear it in its entirety, or if you want to see it, because we were actually on a Zoom call with Johnny, we have it on the WBSM YouTube channel. So you can check it out there and see for yourself. But onesouthcoast.com/celebritydinner and use the promo code celebrity and you can get your tickets $50 off, rather. Now until 4 p.m. tomorrow. That's when they're going to be done. No more ticket sales, so you want to make sure you get them and get them ASAP. They got to make sure they have a head count for the Venus de Milo. They got to make sure they have enough soup for everybody or whatever else they're going to serve. I forget what Katie said. And also a quick reminder that it is National Police Week, so we are honoring police officers all week long. Chris McCarthy is going to be broadcasting live today from Tropical Smoothie in Fairhaven. Anybody who shows up that's a police officer with a valid police ID, you are going to get 50% off your order during Chris's show. And they always have a standing 15% off for first responders there with an ID at the Tropical Smoothie in Fairhaven and New Bedford. But Chris will be at the Fairhaven location today, 9 to noon. Go on by and see him. And it's part of all of the observation of National Police Week. We have joining us now for his regular appearance with us, New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And since it is National Police Week, I'm going to ask you, have you heard anything about how we are in the police chief search?
It's still in progress. We have our applicants have submitted, and now it's up to the search committee to kind of cull through those applications and select. I want to say that they want to narrow it down anywhere between 5 to 6 candidates to actually interview just from the face value of the applications. Then they'll interview those few choice candidates that have made it past that. And then based on those actual interview rounds, they will then submit, I believe, the mayor has asked for at least 2 to 3 names for his consideration. And then based on that further narrowed down list, he'll then make the decision on who he would like to then submit to the council for confirmation.
And so what's a little bit about that process? Because so he's going to make his final decision of who he wants to be the person. But then it is up to the council to approve, as with anybody that becomes a department head. So what role would the council be able to play if, like, say, for example, this was a candidate that the council felt was not a good candidate? What kind of recourse does the council have in that situation?
Well, I guess, theoretically speaking, if we voted no, similar to, I guess, what we're seeing happening in Fall River, it would just go back to the mayor to then resubmit another name or another candidate. But my hope, we have two council members on the search committee, Brian Gomes and Sean Oliver. And as I had mentioned before, although it's just two council members, they're doing the work of all 11 of us by representing all of us. I trust that they're going to be asking questions that they know, the mix of us will be looking for in our next police chief. So in that regard, when they're helping make the decision of the 2 to 3 names submitted, they know whichever candidate might come before us will be someone who's highly qualified and ready to take on this role. So that way we don't face a situation like what's happening in Fall River, where we're continuing to delay and have to have uncertainty on who's going to lead our force.
And I would assume, too, that you would also, if you know, if they weren't on the search committee, those would be two counsels you would lean on for their expertise in this matter anyway, in looking at any potential candidates put before you, because, you know, obviously Councilor Gomes, longtime chair of the Public Safety Committee, and you've got Councilor Oliver, who works in law enforcement. So these are people who, you know, they've got some kind of expertise in that, well, at least a little bit more of a study in that regard.
They have background, for sure, some history in regards to what we would like to look for in our law enforcement.
And now, so again, we'll see where it goes, how long it takes to play out. But I was saying, you know, it would be nice if, you know, National Police Week would be a good time to have yeah. an answer, but it might be a little bit too soon for that. Would you like to take a call here? We got a call coming
sure.
in. 508-996-0500 if you have any questions for Council President Burgo. Good morning. You were on with Council
Good morning,
President Burgo.
Tim. Good morning, Counselor.
Good morning.
I want to know what you're going to do to get the Latin Kings out of our city. Channel 12 reported the Latin Kings. New Bedford, Christianette Avenue is the territory of the Latin Kings, where they do their crime network. What are you going to do as president to get these thugs off our streets?
Yeah,
because Maria Gies is not doing her job. I want to know, as president, what are you going to do to All right. get them out of here?
Okay.
That's my question for you.
Yeah, well, what I first I'll say is I disagree. I think that my colleague, Ward 2 Counselor Maria Jess, is doing a wonderful job in Ward 2. Did I cut out there? Oh, sorry.
No. You're still going. He dropped off.
Oh, okay, so I can't hear myself anymore. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay, but you can hear me. It's fine.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I can't hear myself. But anyway, I would say, in regards to your question, one thing I am very proud of is the work that my colleagues on the city council are doing as a whole to help move New Bedford forward. Because when we're talking about questions in regards to public safety, and that's really where that question is coming from, is how can we work to improve overall public safety, so that way institutions like the Latin Kings, and that's what it is. It's, you know, obviously gangs, and but essentially they're an institution, and that's what is scary and dangerous when you talk about something like that being solidified in a city like New Bedford. In order to unroot that and get it out is to overall change the system that we have in New Bedford. So improving housing, improving our education system, improving the quality of life in the city of New Bedford. And so I'm proud to say that all of my colleagues on the city council, whether I agree or disagree with them, are making huge strides towards that progress and working with all levels of government to make that happen. So, you know, it's not just obviously my job as council president, but helping to facilitate that role, especially this year. I would say it's not just any one particular council, as I often remark, you know, we're stronger in numbers, especially as a council. So I think even the ward councils in particular, being boots on the ground within their ward and knowing what their neighborhoods need, I lean on them heavily as a, not only as a council president, but as a councilor at large, to help support them in their neighborhoods. But we'll continue to do the work of improving our public safety, especially with Brian Gomes as our chairman, to keep an eye, as he often says, while everyone's sleeping, he's out there keeping an eye on the streets. But also with all of the other councilors, improving, again, the quality of life of our city, housing, education, and economic development. Those are huge areas where, again, it does not happen overnight, but we will continue to make those strides to disrupt and dismantle the institutions like the Latin Kings, to move them out of our city, to make it uncomfortable and not easy for them to take up root here in our city.
And from a council perspective, I mean, a councilor's job is just to advocate for the citizens of that ward, and, or, you know, the city overall, if you're a councilor at large. But so they don't, there's not a lot that they can do on a single person level. I mean, you can go put on a bulletproof vest and walk through the streets and call out the gang members, but that just ends up looking performative, because you really have no power to do anything to those individuals. That's law enforcement's job. But all you can do is just keep advocating for law enforcement to be there and keeping these things from happening, and keeping these people from being there.
Well, yeah, and then further that point is, how do we increase our law enforcement? As we talk about oftentimes, is we don't have enough police officers. But as we know, the mayor this week actually is going to be submitting the budget this Wednesday, May 14th. Is that this Wednesday? Wednesday's May 14th?
Yes.
So this upcoming Wednesday, May 14th, the mayor will submit his budget. And as he's already mentioned during his State of the City address, during that budget session, unless he's changed his mind, which I would love, he will again try to dismantle the healthcare system for public safety officers. And, you know, not just all of our public employees, but I like to, you know, harp and mention our public safety officers, because they take the biggest brunt when we talk about health insurance, and they put their life, as we often say, life and limb on the line. And so when you're trying to attack their health insurance, it becomes a little, you know, more egregious in my mind, because when you're trying to encourage more people to come and put a badge on in our city of New Bedford, they're looking at the benefits and the pay, and they're saying, okay, well, I'm going to risk my life and my family's life, essentially, but the executive here in the city doesn't think that I'm valued enough to, you know, give me the best options for health insurance, as just one example. So those are the kind of fights that here in the city council we're going to continue to stand up for and protect and serve those who protect and serve us. That's just one of the many examples that I think of that the city council will continue to serve in that capacity.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we talking about lowering the percentage that they get covered from like 85% to 80%? Isn't that like what the mayor is proposing would be the case?
Potentially, but really what the mayor's proposing, and this is what people are missing, is that he's proposing taking away the bargaining ability. And I'm fine with the mayor proposing things and coming to the seat of the bargaining unit with the different unions. But he wants to remove that entirely and just say, no, we're going to have a mediator come in and then we'll both get to decide. But essentially what happens here is he's giving the illusion that, oh, well, we'll just both get to present and then we'll have a third party arbitrator decide the fate. But we already know what the fate will be. They match it up to what the GIC, the group insurance company, offers. And if it's as good as or better than that, then they say, oh, it passes. So essentially, there's no bargaining. You get to bypass the union support. There's no bargaining tool, and you don't have to deal with the city unions, and you can just ignore them. And so that's why it's frustrating, because essentially you get to usurp the entire process that's been working for however many years now with all of our city unions and the men and women, again, that I mentioned, protect and serve our residents. And really, not just our residents, but a lot of times mutual aid gets called in. They help protect and serve a lot of those in the region. And so for me, that's why, yes, it might sometimes be beneficial for them to have better health insurance than at the state level.
Should counselors who take the health insurance recuse themselves from voting on that?
I guess that's a good question. I myself don't take the health insurance. Coincidentally enough, I take my health insurance from my state job. I'm not sure if that, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that legally that they're not required to. But that's a good question.
Can you hear yourself in your headphones before we go to a call?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
you can always try a different jack there too if it wasn't working. All right, let's take a call here. Good morning. You are next with Council President Burgo.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
As far as the insurance thing, I would say just put them all on MassHealth. If they're already in the state system anyways, put them on MassHealth instead of a private insurance. It'd probably be cheaper. But I wanted to ask you something, Shane. If you were mayor, what would be your favorite flag to hang in front of City Hall?
My favorite flag would be the city flag. As oftentimes people remark, oftentimes every speech that I give, I talk about our city motto, which is Lucem Diffundo, which translates to I diffuse light. And that happens to be on our city seal, which is on our city flag, and which already hangs outside of City Hall amongst the POW flag and the American flag.
All right. Do you now? You're a big supporter. You're a big advocate for Palestine. There's no Palestine, but the Palestinian flag.
Well, Palestine does exist, but I'm a big supporter of making sure people aren't murdered. If that's what you're referring to. I know that this radio station has obviously misrepresented my position on many things, but we won't get into that. But if you'd like to get to your direct question instead of beating around the bush, that'd be great.
Well, would you, now that I'd like to hear a statement on the mayor's position, the current mayor's position on what flags to be hung up in front of City Hall, because he left it open.
Yeah.
If you got that, he left it open. What is your opinion on that? What would you do as mayor?
Yeah, so what I would say is that in this particular stance, the flag policy, I believe the State Department has sovereign states that they recognize. In this case, Palestine is not. Obviously, I know that's the direct question you're looking for is, do you believe that the Palestinian flag should be raised above City Hall? In this stance, the State Department does not recognize, it's my understanding the State Department does not recognize Palestine as a sovereign state. In that regard, we would not raise the Palestinian flag. So unless we change that at the State Department level, then I would agree that we would not raise that flag.
All right. The next step.
But what I would say in regards to that statement, because I think what frustrates me when I see people's disagreements about raising flags, and they said only the American flag should be raised at City Hall. We have many cultural events. For example, coming this July, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Cape Verdean independence. Myself being Cape Verdean, we're going to be raising the Cape Verdean flag. There's also the Day of Portugal event. I'm also Mandarin, and so we raise the Portuguese flag, and we're very proud of the mixed cultures here in New Bedford. As I often talk about the immigrants that come to New Bedford that make up the fabric of our city, I think it's important that we have the diverse cultures celebrated in our city, and those flags hang at City Hall as well. I just want to make sure that's mentioned.
That would be the caveat that the mayor left in his statement, I believe. He says to his discretion, what flags he would choose to put up that fall outside the parameters of the state flag, U.S. flag, so on and so forth. Now, when it comes to June, would you be willing to set, as far as, I'm sorry, let me get to the point. As far as Eric Andrade's letter about putting up the Palestinian flag, you agree with the mayor that only the state U.S. flag should be up and the city flag should be up.
No.
Would you be willing to sacrifice the gay flag in June, the other flags, the other celebratory flags that he puts up, to eliminate the idea that Eric can have his way and put up the Palestinian flag?
No. So as I just said, I don't agree that we should be able to put up other flags. As I mentioned, that the State Department has a list of the sovereign states that we recognize and other flags that we can put along. There's a flag policy that the United States, there's flag etiquette, there's all these different rules that dictate how flags should be presented, and that's what I would follow. I also disagree with the statement that flags should be dictated by who's in office, by the mayor, or even if I were mayor. For example, if the particular mayor who's in office happens to be homophobic and doesn't want to celebrate Pride, for example, that's coming up in June, I think that would be unfair in that regard. But I think that goes to, again, Eric Andrade's point of just depending on who's in office, that's who would disregard the flag. But in this regard, again, there's precedent for how long, obviously, in this case, the Palestinian flag has not been on that list for or what have you. So it's not that it has been disregarded just because of what's been going on. But I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the progress for the fight, what's been happening with in Gaza and what have you. Again, as I've mentioned before, I think a number of us, I would hope, are against the atrocities that have been happening both in Israel and in Gaza, the deaths that have been happening, the murder that's been happening. I want to state here publicly, I do not support Hamas. I know that's been stated here many times that
I know that's what you'd like to believe.
No, but that's not true.
Yeah, that's I know that's what you'd like to believe, and that's what a lot of people have said, but I want to publicly reiterate that I am not a supporter of Hamas.
No, it's not. It is when you're small-minded and can't open your mind beyond the fact that you can support people without supporting the terrorist organization that is currently in charge of them.
There's Hamas, and there are the Palestinian people. There are the people, the innocent people, the actual innocent people. But I would say to you that the only reason that there's that separation is these people want to see Israel dead. They want to see the Jewish people dead. If they don't, if they want to get along with Israel, yeah, it's fine. 30% of the population of Israel is not Jewish. They're more than welcome, just don't want to kill us, and, you know, we can all be friends. That's not a very hard thing to wrap your brain around.
Well, I'm glad that you finally acknowledge that there's a separation between the terrorist group Hamas and the Palestinian people. And so I would just hope that you continue to recognize the suffering of the Palestinian people that are caught in between. Okay. Well,
all right. We're going to end it there. All right. We're going to take a break here. Caller, hang on. We will get to you next, but we've got to take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments. More with Council President Burgo and your calls, 508-996-0500. All right, we are with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, taking your calls, 508-996-0500, your app chats on the WBSM app. A reminder, Chris McCarthy broadcasting live from Tropical Smoothie in Fairhaven, coming up at 9 a.m. He's going to be there from 9 to noon for National Police Week. Go on by, stop by, hang out with Chris. Of course, Tropical Smoothie always offers 15% discount to first responders who come either in uniform or with their ID. But today, any police officers that come in with their ID, while Chris is there from 9 to noon, you're going to get 50% off your order at Tropical Smoothie in Fairhaven. So stop by, see Chris, and make sure you tune in for the show. But we are taking calls now. You are next with Council President Burgo.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, Skitty. How's it going?
Good, good. So I'm going to ask a few questions, and then I'll hang up because I'm waiting for a phone call, Tim, to see if I'm going to Boston or not.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask what I'm going to ask. I am a little naive about this police chief, how the whole procedure goes. So it seems to me like the mayor last week seemed to like who's going to be there, and the city council, you guys seem to like him. Is he going to be voted in, do you think, or?
Well, there's no candidate yet.
Oh, no, I thought the mayor said that there was somebody that everybody had their eye on.
Oh, well, there's okay. Just an acting person right now, but no, yeah. We have just applications.
Yeah, no, I must have misheard things. I don't know. Down the grapevine, I guess.
I don't know for sure, but I would think that the acting chief is somebody who put in for the job.
Potentially.
Yeah, that's what you would think. Yeah. And so my other question just is, if are we allowed to know who voted for and who voted against whatever chief will be put up, whatever name will be put up? And my second question, well, not a question, my statement is, you know, there is a difference, and I hope we're all smart enough to realize there is a difference between Hamas and the Palestine people.
Yes.
People's lives are being lost. Hamas, they're awful, but raising a flag, me and Tim talked about this, it's just going to be what it's going to be. That's not going to happen, and everybody needs to stop worrying about that. I don't know why that question was brought up to you again. And other than that, Tim, I'm going to leave you an app chat. You can call me on my real phone. I don't expect you to answer it, but you have permission to call me. It's just something that's come to my attention, and I noticed it also last week. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And I got to go.
All right.
You guys have a great...
Thank you, Skitty.
Well, not you guys. I'll talk to you again, Tim. Mr. President. Oh, I do have a question for you, and I'll hang up.
Sure.
Are you going to run for president? Do Do you have it?
You're not old enough to run for president yet.
No, not yet.
No, but when the mayor retires.
Oh, you mean mayor.
Oh,
run
for mayor. Yeah.
You said president.
I mean, are you going to take your presidency from the city council to become mayor? That's what I'm just curious about, because everybody's saying for the mayor finally to take his wage increase is pretty incredible. I think it's honorable that he never did, but he is now, and there's a lot of speculation, which you know. But anyways, I think I'll, so in case I get a phone call, and I'll let you in.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yes, that it has been projected. It's been said. Yeah, I know you've said in the past that you've never formally stated that you were going to run for mayor.
Correct. Yeah, you know, it's... It's, you know, flattering, I guess, that people, you know, would say that and ask, you know, obviously people have asked me to or pushed me to want to seek a higher office. But right now, obviously, I'm focused on seeking my reelection for councilor at large. As we know, it's been announced that we can pull nomination papers tomorrow, actually, Tuesday, the preliminary election, if we need to have a preliminary election, depending on how many candidates actually come out. I'm hoping we have a very robust election season. As I've mentioned before, it's, you know, democracy requires participation, and that's from voters and from candidates. So I encourage many people to participate in every which way possible. And so I will be seeking re-election. I guess this is my formal announcement that I will be seeking re-election.
Hey, breaking news.
Yes, breaking news. I will be seeking re-election as council at large. And that's my focus right now, is seeking re-election in this capacity. I believe there's still so much to do in the legislative branch of our city government. I know a lot of people don't believe that there's much power there in our city government, in the legislative portion of our city government. But I think we've seen in just my last two terms what can actually be achieved when a number of a majority or more of us in the city council actually work together for the better of the people of New Bedford. So in regards to Sketty's question, right now I'm focused on council at large.
So there's no formal announcements as you would be seeking the mayorship in the future, but it's something that you're going to leave on the table as a possibility.
I always look to the future. Always. There's always
Nothing formal. You are not formally saying that you are going to be a candidate in the next election for mayor yet.
Correct.
Okay.
And then to her other question in regards to whether or not our votes would be public, yes. Any votes that we take on the city council floor are always public. So when the nominee comes before us for the police chief from the mayor's office, when the council takes that vote up, that will be made public.
Will you know how the screening committee and how they might have voted for that person? Obviously, the mayor, it's a 1-0 vote if he decides to move somebody forward, but
yeah.
Would you know how the screening committee weighed in on
that's
candidate?
A good question. I'll have to ask the mayor about that. I would hope, because I actually want to see essentially the rubric of how they decided which names they put forward. And really, I want to see how out of the 21, I believe it's 21 applications that have been submitted, how they narrowed it down to the 6 or so names that they wanted to interview. Often, you know, for myself, I often say sometimes that I might if get me into an interview room, I might do better than I do on paper. Mm-hmm. So sometimes just getting into the room, you know, put you far ahead than the rest. So I just want to even know how they're deciding, narrowing it down from 21 to 6. So I am hoping that the mayor will be transparent in that process as well. So I don't know if necessarily that will be released to the public, but I'm hoping in transparency that it will be released at least to the city council for review.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that would necessarily have to be public information, because people who apply for a job wouldn't technically be something the city would normally put out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's protections around that. But yes, who got put forth from the screening committee, I think, needs to be public information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, like if this was if this was something where a screening committee was then suggesting to the school committee for a superintendent, and there was four candidates, you would know who those four candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, in that same regard, it would be beneficial for the public to know. let me take another break here and just get that done. When we come back, we can talk about any... I know there was a meeting last week. We can talk about some of what happened there. We can talk about what's coming up, and we can take more calls. 508-996-0500. We will be right back in just a couple of moments with Council President Burgo. All right, we are back with Council President Shane Burgo and 508-996-0500 if you have any questions for him. So there was a meeting last week. If you can give us some of the highlights of what was discussed.
Yeah, well, so it was just a city council meeting. It was a pretty short one. I would say the biggest highlight would probably, I think the biggest talk that most people will be talking about, the biggest buzz will be around the recall provision, the home rule petition that... Surprisingly enough, Councillor Abreu and Choquette. I was surprised by Councillor Abreu just because originally in committee he fought against the home rule petition. As a reminder for those that are listening, because oftentimes they don't get the actual facts from here, it was myself, Councillor Oliver, Choquette, and Ryan Pereira that voted to advance the home rule petition out of committee. So again, that was myself, Ryan Pereira, Sean Oliver, and Leo Choquette, who wanted to move forward with the recall provision. I believe that our city, especially with a four-year mayor, four-year school committee, we should have this provision in there, a six-year, I believe, assessor system. We did have discussions, obviously, around whether or not it was necessary for a two-year city council race. As we know, the turnaround time for us is very quick. In the process that it would take to end up having to recall us, by time that process would take place, we'd already be up for re-election. So in that case, spending the amount of money it would take to recall us, it would cost the city so much, depending on whether or not we would even get recalled. But to me, I felt like that wouldn't necessarily happen because, again, as I've mentioned earlier during this segment, I believe my colleagues are doing amazing work. You know, I think the recall provision is really meant for more so egregious acts when we need situations to, as we've seen recently in some local
very nearby communities.
Yeah, which I guess we don't really have to mention. But so that's why it's important to protect our residents from potential politicians who might not catch the hint that they need to step away. But a motion made by Councillor Abreu and Choquette to have that heard yet again in the ordinance committee. So I believe the chair of that ordinance committee, Ryan Pereira, will bring that up again. I'm not sure at what point, sometime soon. I believe the motion had mentioned 30 days time frame. So we'll have that discussed again at some point this year. And then the other topic that was brought up that I think is of great importance, especially now with the MBTA, was a motion filed by Councillor Giesta, Oliver, and Choquette, three ward councillors along the MBTA system that, you know, as Councillor Oliver mentioned in his remarks, that getting to ride the train for the first time, he noticed, you know, different sights of the city that he had never seen before, some that he wished he had never seen before, with a lot of trash and debris. And so they wanted to write a letter to different state partners, essentially requesting that they clean up these areas that are state-owned, and then also asking them about the routine maintenance. Is this something that they'll continue to maintain and clean up moving forward, or is this something that we're going to need to add to our workload of for our Department of Public Infrastructure, because we don't want it to get back to what it is now, and we want to be able to keep it maintained.
Because not only would it add to the workload, but legally they can't, because they'd be trespassing on MBTA property.
Mm-hmm.
So you need their legal permission to be able to do it, even if you had the manpower to do it.
Yes. So I would say those are two of the biggest highlights. You know, we also had our action plan put forward for the different grants, requesting funding from the United States for our community development block grants and different funding from them. I know we want to have a further discussion about it's a five-year plan on different ways to spend our money. I know Councillor Morad also has some questions in regards to how we're spending our different funding on that. So that was also something where referring to the Committee on Finance to have a deeper discussion on how those that kind of funding is being used and how it's being spliced up. So there'll be more on that later. So that was kind of the biggest highlights, I would say, of that meeting, other than obviously we have hearings, you know, Eversource and or NSTAR, I think, and sometimes the hearings referred to as, and then different transfers as we get closer to the end of the budget season, pretty routine matters in that regard.
So we'll take our final break, and then we'll find out what's coming up this week. But just really quickly, because you brought up Eversource, I just want to mention that there was a lot of scuttlebutt online over the weekend because they had intersections shut down around Cogswell Street and around Market Basket and Belleville. And like people are like, what's going on? There's all these emergency crews out. It was all planned routine maintenance. I reached out to Eversource Saturday morning, and they did get back to me and say it was all routine plan. They knew this was going to happen. That's why they had so many crews out. This was all planned. That's why they had police around to make sure that people were going through those intersections safely. All right, we got to take this final break, and we'll be back to wrap things up with Council President Burgo.